Ecclesiastes is where we're going to be. I'm sure that's no surprise. We have made it to chapter 3. Before we jump into this, I don't know if this has ever happened to you. It's happened to me multiple times. Have you ever done something at the wrong time? And specifically, whenever I think about this, I can't help but thinking, and it's appropriate because we're in church, laughing in church. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but I would like get flicked in the back of the head because I'd be sitting with a friend, and that was like a big privilege whenever I was a little kid, like having my friends sit by me in church, and we'd be drawing pictures and, you know, doing what kids do in church. And then all of a sudden, somebody would write a joke or say a joke, and we would get to laughing, and we could not stop. I mean, the whole shoulders are shaking. You're trying to hold it in. You're crying because there's just pressure from trying not to laugh and just doing something. The timing was all off. And so Hunter and I were talking about this earlier today, and I was like, Hunter, have you ever laughed at an inappropriate time? And he was telling me about 2 weeks ago. Is that right? I didn't really know this that much about Hunter, but he can sing, which is interesting. Keith, you might want to take note of that. He can sing. And he was on a mission trip, and he was asked, and he's also bilingual, which is another fun fact about Hunter. He was asked to sing a song. What hymn did you do? How Great Thou Art. Attempted, yes. He attempted to do How Great Thou Art in Spanish, and he decided to use his iPhone as the music. So you're on a mission trip, so things get a little ghetto. So he's playing the music into a microphone from his iPhone, and it has a woman singing as well. And so he's following along in this hymnal, singing this song, and then he didn't listen to the whole song. So the lady starts singing something different than what the hymnal was singing, and Hunter just started laughing, like in front of everyone. But he puts his head down and he's kind of, you know, shoulders are shaking, and he tried to make it play it off like he was crying, but he wasn't. He was laughing. Just faking it. So that happens, right? There's a time for everything. There's a time when it's appropriate to laugh. There's a time when it's not appropriate to laugh. And that happens. And Solomon's going to talk about how there's a time for everything. So turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, even if you have to look on your phone. I want everyone looking at this because we're going to interact. I need your help as we kind of build out this idea of a time for everything. I'm going to start us off by reading verses 1 through 8. It says this, verse 1, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." So here's what I want to do. Looking at that list, you guys help me. If you were to get to pick your favorite time listed here, what would it be? You can just kind of shout it out. Times that you enjoy, times, things that you want. Every activity, you pick it all. It's just all encompassing. So if you had to pick one, what would you guys pick? Just shout it out. Time to laugh. Time to laugh. Great. What else? Peace. Dance. We're Baptists. Be careful. I'm just kidding. No, that's good. Time to what? Peace.
Time to build.
Build. A lot of heads nodding on that one. Anything else?
Embrace.
Time to embrace. Right, that's a good season. It's a good thing. I'll take killing too. I like to hunt. Time to kill. Just throwing it out there. Not people, okay? Anything else that jumps out at you? So what I imagined would happened, thankfully. None of us really picked the harder times. We didn't pick a time to die. Other than me, nobody picked a time to kill. We didn't pick a time to weep or mourn. We didn't pick a time to refrain from embracing or to lose or to cast away or to tear, keep silent. By nature, we don't want these things. But Solomon is saying that there's a time for both sides. And when I began to think through seasons, needing these times of more difficult things, what God has allowed to happen in my life, and then began to realize, like, Solomon's right. There is a time for healing. There is a time for mourning. There is a time for laughter. There's a time for all of these things. And these things have a place in our life. And God uses these things. And a lot of times I think we want to excuse God of the seasons that exist in our lives in this fallen world. And God needs no excuse. Solomon didn't just list the good things. He listed the good things which have its place. And we'll talk about that. But he also lists these harder times and these harder seasons, and God needs no excuse for these things. I would say that in a way, he is the author of these things. He is the author of all seasons. So if it's a good thing, then he did it. He initiated it. If it's a bad thing like death, he didn't stop it. Death doesn't exist because God initiated it. Death exists because of sin. And so God can allow death and mourning and weeping to be present in our lives. But he doesn't need an excuse for it. And I wanted us to really understand this. I wanted us to really embrace this reality that we live in, that there is a time and a place for every season, and that God needs no excuse for this. Psalms 135, starting in verse 5, it says this: I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. The Lord does whatever pleases him. A lot of times we don't want that to be true, right? We want the Lord to do what pleases us. But it says in verse 6, the Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths. He makes clouds to rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouse. So God is, he's in control of everything. He's in control of even nature itself. We see this, right? We see this with Jesus. He can do whatever he wants. He does whatever pleases him in heaven and on earth. One of the things that I couldn't help but go to is Job. Job is this great narrative of God's control over Satan, God's control over all of life, all of creation, and then allowing Job to enter into a season and a time that is very difficult. The reason I wanted to go to Job is more for Job's response. Because when all of this bad stuff happens to Job, when he loses everything that he loves, everything that he needs is gone, Job then begins to go to the Lord, and God gives him this chapter after chapter after chapter response of why God can do what he can do and why Job doesn't have to fully understand everything. And Job's response is this. Job 42, 1 through 2 says this: Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. And so on purpose, God allows these seasons in our lives, these times and these things to happen for our good. If you needed more proof, I'm going to just keep reading because I feel like it's important for us to understand this. Psalms 115:3, our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. I've preached on that verse before. Romans 9, this is really, really good because it kind of hits more personal to us as his creation. Romans 9, 19 through 24. One of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will? But you who are human, a human being, to talk back to God? What shall what is formed say to the one who formed it? Why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make one of the same lump of clay for a special purpose and the other for common use? What if God, although choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory? even us, whom he also called, not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. God can do whatever he wants with us. We are his creation. If he wants to make some of us for more common purposes, that's his. If that's what his will is, great. If he wants to create us and use us for more special purposes, then that's fine. It's up to God to do what he wants. And so, again, God causes what is good. He authors what is good, and he can stop anything from happening, which means he allows what is bad to happen so that we can enter into different seasons of life. And so this has happened and will continue to happen in my life. There are seasons that I can enter into and that I do enter into that are in my control and outside of my control. One of the things that's recently happened over the last year and a half with Ashley and I that was a tougher season is we decided, gosh, probably 2.5 years ago now, to start trying to have another child. We have a little 4-year-old, Braxton, who I'm sure you've seen run around here before and after the service. So some of you already know this. We start trying to get pregnant. Ashley gets pregnant, and then we find out like 1.5 weeks later that she's having a miscarriage. And so that first miscarriage, honestly, it was hard, but it wasn't that hard. We were able to very quickly entrust that to the Lord and kind of give that to God and say, hey, God, you're the author of life. You are good. You are faithful. And all of those things were true in our heart. And so then we do what the doctors say. We have to wait a certain amount of time before we can start trying again. We start trying again. She gets pregnant. And just in my mind and in my heart, I'm like, man, this is it. Like, this is going to be a viable pregnancy. I was not even thinking miscarriage at all. And then same thing. We get to 5 weeks. Same thing starts happening. And she miscarries again. And this time it was like, the wind, I've explained it like this before, the wind being sucked like out of our sails. It's just not understanding, like saying to the Lord, okay, I get it one time, you doing that one time to help us be able to trust in you as the author of life, to be able to stand firm on you, but why twice? Like, why did it have to happen again? And a lot of times when we find ourselves in a place like this, We're not seeing the whole picture of what God is trying to do. And the pastor that I used to serve under used to say it like this. It's like looking at a stained glass window. And so I want to show you a picture of a stained glass window. And so this is what we see when we're suffering. We see this, you know, you can kind of tell, okay, there's different colors. There's some flowers in this picture. You can see that the glass has been shaped and cracked and molded in certain ways to create something, but we don't see the whole picture here. We're too close. We're seeing just a little bit of what God is accomplishing. And in the midst of suffering and in the midst of pain, this is when we're not out of it all the way, we don't get the full picture. We can trust and know that God is in control. Because he is. Regardless of how bad the situation gets, God's in control. He needs no excuses. He's not asking for excuses for where he has you. But he's doing something, right? He's creating this bigger picture that when we're close and we're in the suffering, when we're in the midst of it, we can't see it. And then eventually, we get to see the whole picture. And you see, this is what the artist was trying to create. This is supposed to be a picture of the tree of life. Well, when you're too close, you can't see the whole picture. You can't see what God's trying to accomplish. When you're in the midst of it, you just know that he's creating. You know that he's shaping. You know that he's doing something, and it takes time to get out of the midst of that season to see fully what God is doing. And so Ashley and I are now, I don't know, 5 months, 6 months out of the last miscarriage, and Ashley is actually pregnant now, and we know that we're having a little baby boy. And so I don't feel like I'm fully out to see the whole picture yet, but I'll tell you what, I appreciate the life that's in her womb. way more than I would have had I not gone through the losses. And it's hard when my face is pressed up against the glass and I can't see the full picture. But I'm getting to start to see a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And the suffering is producing a type of maturity in us that James says we should long for. James says we should rejoice in. And so if you go to James chapter 1, it says this, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. So we're going to go through different seasons. Even as I'm looking over the room and seeing you guys, I know some of you are in immense difficult seasons right now. Some of you have gone through very difficult seasons and you're in seasons of rebuilding and growth and you're getting to experience that. But if you're in this tougher season, which I know many of you in the room are, consider it pure joy. There's a maturing that's happening that can't happen in the better season. It just can't. There's a sanctifying work that God does. And it's something that as whenever I come out of a more trying, more difficult season, and I get to see a little bit more of the picture of who God is trying to create me to be, as he is sanctifying me, making me more like Christ, as I get to look back on that, so far, there has not been one thing that God has allowed to happen in my life that was difficult that I would take back. And that's the tough thing about trials. That's the tough thing about suffering is when you go through it, God gives you so much of himself that once you get on the other side of it, you would never give back what he gave you through that time, which means you would never take back what he did through that trial. We just have to wait. We have to get to the point of where we can see the full picture. It's the when that's difficult. It's the when that's difficult. Because I don't know when. Adam, I don't know when. Bernie, I don't know when. But I know it's coming. Right? I know that at some point you'll get to see what God's doing. You'll get to see the beautiful picture that he's creating in your life. Solomon's going to address some of the when at the end of this chapter. But he doesn't stop here just with these different seasons. He keeps going, so we got to keep going. So let's pick back up in verse 9. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end, I perceive that there's nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they shall live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. That is God's gift to man. Okay, so there's these seasons, right? There's seasons of difficulty. There's seasons of struggle. But there's also seasons of joy. There's seasons of lack. And so there can be this thing where we've talked about this on the first week, and then John Mark talked about this even last week, where we can become kind of overwhelmed with what is good. We can become, we're toiling in such a way that all of the things that are good become, as Solomon would say, vanity and a striving after the wind. But these better seasons, these good seasons, God has given to them to us as a gift. And he says that we should enjoy them, that we should take pleasure in them. And I forget to do this. I really do. Like I will look at what I have, and because of what I don't have, forget to enjoy what I do have. And this becomes a very dangerous game because we miss out in the blessings that God has given us. Whether that be the way that we view our spouse, whether that be the way that we view our money, whether that be the way we view our things, we tend to look at things in a negative light rather than in a positive light. And Solomon's saying, don't do that. Enjoy the things that God has given you. Be grateful for what you have. Take pleasure in what you have, because it's not an end in itself. He talks about this in the verses before. God's put eternity in our heart. We know that life doesn't end on these temporal things. Eternity is in our heart. Therefore, we can enjoy the things that we have because we know where they come from. If anyone should enjoy the things that they have, we should. If anybody's going to celebrate, we should be celebrating. If anybody's going to throw a party, we should have the best party. If anybody's going to work hard, we should be the ones working the hardest unto the Lord and enjoying what he has put before us. There should be this celebration about our lives that we live in because eternity has been put in our hearts. And I forget to do this. Amazing gifts that God gives, and we should enjoy them. Let's keep on reading. We'll jump to verse 18. And he's going to kind of bring everything full circle for us and press on us a little bit here to really, really consider what season we're in. I said in my heart, with regard to children, to the children of man, that God is testing them, that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beast is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and to the dust all return. It's an interesting way to kind of close down the chapter. It talks about these times and these seasons that we're going to suffer, that we're going to enjoy, that we're going to plant, that we're going to pull up what is planted. This very stark contrast in life that we'll go through. He says, enjoy the good seasons. He's talked about already over and over how everything is vanity, especially things that are under the sun. But when eternity is in our heart, we can enjoy the things that God has put before us. But the reality is we all die, which is kind of shocking almost. But that is the reality. We are going to die, which means that the season that you are in is important. The season that you are in is shaping you. Or it could be shaping someone else. If you're in a season of plenty, if you're in a season of joy, and you're in a season where you're like, man, everything is great, everything is good, things couldn't be going better, God has you there for a purpose. He has you there to put on display his glory, to put on display his pleasures, and then that would go through you and to someone else. We've talked about this many, many times. God doesn't just bless you so that you can hoard it all to yourself. God blesses you, whether that be spiritually, physically, whether it be your health, whether it be your family, whether it be whatever you have, God blesses you so that that can move through you and into someone else. So you can bless someone else, so you can be used by God. And time is of the essence. That's what Solomon's getting at. We are going to die. Nobody has an advantage over someone else in that. So that means the season you're in matters. And then the same thing, if you're in a season of suffering, if you're in a season of difficulty, there is a maturing that God is trying to do in your life. There is an opportunity to gain more of him. This season matters. Time is of the essence. Gain as much of him as you can. Glorify him as much as you can. These seasons exist for a reason. Time is of the essence. And so then you got to ask yourself, what are you doing with the season that God has you in? What season are you in? If you're in a season of difficulty, if you're in a season of suffering, leverage it. There's an opportunity to gain him, unlike any other season that you could find yourself in. Don't waste it. Don't waste the season that God has you in, because at the end of the day, it's going to come to an end. And again, if you're in a good season, don't waste it. Don't waste where the Lord has you. There's much to be done. There's much to gain. There's much to do to glorify Him. Because it's going to come to an end. And so then again, like we always do tonight, we got to work through this. We got to consider where we're at. So what season are you in? If you're in a season of suffering, what could God be trying to purge from your life? Where can you gain Him? If you're in a season of plenty, things are going well, how can you enjoy it? Don't miss it. Don't miss the opportunity. John Mark talked about this last week. Enjoy the things that God has given you. It's important for us to do this. We should be the most joyful people on this earth. And a lot of times we complain more than anyone. How are you at work? How are you putting on the joy of the Lord for the blessings that He's given you? How are you at home? Do your kids even know that you're a happy person? Man, we got to enjoy the Lord. Other people need to see us finding pleasure in the things that God has given us, whether that's a lot or a little, whether we're in a season of suffering or a season of plenty. And both can be had, or that can be had in both seasons. The joy of the Lord can be had in both seasons. And so here's what I want to do. I've been debating of how to do this, and I think where I'm landing is there's a beautiful thing about what God's doing on Wednesday nights. There's a beautiful thing about the fact that this room is smaller. It's because we can know each other. And I know that all of you are in different seasons in your life, and so normally I would have you bow your heads and close your eyes. I don't want to do that. Can we just be honest with each other tonight and maybe help each other tonight? Let's take advantage of the room that we're sitting in. Let's take advantage of the fact that there's not hundreds of people in here, because we can pray for one another. We can know one another. And so I want to ask these questions. And if you don't know what season you're in, you're kind of like in an in-between season, then that's fine too. You don't have to raise your hand for both. But if you're in a season of suffering, will you just raise your hand for me? If you find yourself in a season of suffering, would you just raise your hand? Can you guys just look around, those of you not raising your hand? And let's maybe gather around them or just engage each other tonight. And if you're okay, if you're in a season of plenty and you feel like the Lord's blessing, will you raise your hand? Great. Some of you raise your hand for both. That's great. I get that. So some of us are in a good season right now, which means we have a lot to offer from the Lord, which means we should be enjoying the things that God has put before us. Some of you are in a season of suffering, and you need those people to gather around you, and we're in a room that's small enough that we can do that. It's not always the case. And so what I don't want us to do tonight is I don't want us just to sing one more song and then scurry off. I would love to see us be the church for each other, because we have a unique opportunity to do that in this space tonight. And so I'm going to pray for us. As we sing this last song or two, I want you to really consider those questions, where you're at, what God's trying to do, what you could be doing more, depending on what season you're in. And then let's just engage each other with that. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for what you're doing on Wednesday nights and the opportunity that we have to be the church with each other, to gather around each other, pray for each other, encourage each other. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would begin to move powerfully and your voice would be heard. Open our ears, God. Allow us to hear from you tonight. As we saw by raising hands, there's a number of people in this room that are suffering. I pray, God, that you would maybe give them a glimpse, give them some hope of the bigger picture. allow them to see a little bit more of what you're trying to do, to give them some hope that you are doing something, that you are working. I pray for those who are in a season of suffering that they would gain you. I know that they will. I just pray that it would happen quickly, even as selfish of a prayer as that is. And then for those who are in a season of plenty and life is going good and their cup is full, I pray, God, that you would show them how to enjoy you more, how to put that on display for your glory. I pray, God, that you would begin to show them how to help those that aren't in that season, that need people to come around them, to encourage them, to help them just go one more day, because it feels like today is overwhelming. So Holy Spirit, just lead us, guide us, help us to really be the church tonight, to pray for one another, to encourage one another. And God, I just pray that you would do this for your glory. Jesus, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the gospel that makes all of this possible. I pray this in Jesus' name.